I know you believe that you understand what you think I said, but I'm not sure that you realise that what you heard is not what I meant. This comment sums up what so often happens in conversation. There's a gap, a communication chasm, we might call it, between the intentions of the speaker, the communicator, and what their audience, be it one or more people, understands the speaker to have said. Such a gap can often create confusion, uncertainty, or worse. It can prolong, as well as start, a conflict. I recall mediating in an employment case many years ago in which a manager had said something innocuous, so far as that person was concerned, to a close colleague. The colleague took it to mean something else, and long story short, 2 years and much distress later, we were dealing with a significant claim and a wrecked career. Why do such miscommunications occur? Well, there are so many reasons. I've covered some of them in previous podcasts, of which this is number 17 and the first on video. We make assumptions, judgments. We have perceptions and prejudices, baggage. We've got our prior experiences. We feel fear, shame. The list is endless. We think of cognitive biases, neuroscience, thinking fast and slow, and all of that. Often it's a failure to listen, or to listen enough. When listening, we can tend to hear only what we want to hear, or be deaf to what we fear hearing. As we discussed in an earlier podcast, we switch off easily. We assume we've heard it before, we drift into our own thoughts, begin to prepare our response, our rebuttal. We're anxious to get our point of view across, often so anxious that we stop listening to the other person and even cut in on the speaker. Sounds familiar? I'm keen that we take responsibility for our communications, and that if it's true that the meaning of any communication is the response it gets, we do our best to get our meaning across. That applies to all of us, whether we're giving a presentation, seeking to persuade a colleague, negotiating a deal, or mediating in a conflict. So I'm interested in this podcast in how we can ensure, or at least do our best to ensure, that the other person does hear and take away what we want them to hear and take away. If we can achieve that, then, as the now saint Sir John Henry Newman once said, and I paraphrase slightly, if we truly understand what each other means, we would see, for the most part, that controversy is superfluous or hopeless. I discussed aspects of understanding in an earlier podcast. Indeed, someone once said that 80% of conflicts arise from lack of communication or miscommunication. This time, I'd like to explore what I call the verbal, the vocal, and the visual. By verbal, I mean the words we use. By vocal, how we use our voices, our delivery. And by visual, how we appear, our behaviour, what others see, sometimes referred to as body language. There's research from the 1960s which suggests that when first meeting someone, communication comes from the words we use only to a small extent, 7%. From our voices, 38%, and from the visual elements, 55%. The research is sometimes criticised, but we don't need to dwell on the detail or the accuracy to make the point that a significant part of any communication is the non-verbal aspects. We know that from our own experience. I just need to say the same words in two different ways for that to be obvious. Take the point? Whatever the percentage, none of this is to say that the words are not important. I love the idea of every word being carefully chosen for its task. Great speakers spend hours on selecting the words for the job, but they will spend as long, or even longer, on the presentation of the words. The key is congruence, alignment. The words, the verbal, need to be supported by the vocal and the visual. If there's inconsistency, people, that's the audience, will tend to be influenced, often subconsciously, by what they see and by what they hear in the voice rather than in the words themselves. Again, let me illustrate. I hope that you're really enjoying this podcast. Two different messages, with the same words. So word choice is important. As I say, clarity, simplicity, often brevity, painting pictures perhaps, short sentences, a good structure, seeking to express rather than impress. Selecting words which are, as they say, non-violent. I feel bad when you use such and such, rather than you make me feel bad. That point would take us to the value of reframing, a topic from the previous podcast. Turning to the vocal, that's how we use our voices, that takes us to tone or intonation, modulation, emphasis, pace, audibility, the use of the pause. Remember the podcast on that topic. Here, pausing to enable the audience to digest what you've said can be more important than merely slowing down the pace of delivery. It's about rhythm. So pausing to enable the audience to digest what you've said, it can be more important than merely slowing down the pace of delivery. The legendary Scottish rugby commentator Bill McLaren talked about light and shade. We all have a range, the ability to break away from monotony, monotony. And variety, once again, is a spice of life. So, you think you'll make a great mediator? So you think that you'll make a great mediator? So, you think you'll make a great mediator? And so on. Different emphasis, different tone, different messages. On the visual, eye contact. Interesting doing this on video that I'm looking down at my script and up at the camera. They say that you should make eye contact not all the time, but probably around 80% of the time. Facial expression, not that easy to control, but it's so easy to give away your underlying thinking with a smirk or a grimace. Movement of the head and the body, our use of physical space, chairs and tables, for example. Proximity to others, are we too close to them or too far away? Our gestures, such as our use of hands, posture, slouched at a desk or upright as we speak, our mannerisms, fidgeting with our fingers, for example, and so on. Even just bringing energy to what we do. And these are conscious decisions that we can make. It may even be tiring to apply all of this, as we adopt new habits, new behaviours, move away from our default settings. Further, of course, our physical appearance is not neutral. Whether we like it or not, we influence what others may think about us by how we dress. For example, I decided to put a shirt on rather than the t-shirt which I was wearing about 10 minutes ago. How we wear our hair, and so on. We give signals to others constantly through our posture, our gestures, our mannerisms, our movements, our appearance. We receive signals from others all the time. How close are they? What about eye contact? That glance down before finishing a sentence. What does their facial expression tell us, or perhaps at least lead us to ask? If they're fidgeting, what can we do to help to put them at ease? If they are ill at ease, what else might it be? Here I might mention briefly the concepts of matching and mirroring, pacing and leading. They say that opposites attract, but only if we're a magnet. To build rapport with someone, we can match or mirror their movements, their body position, posture. Overdone, of course, this will seem ridiculous and obvious, but we can create a natural empathy through the visual behaviour that we employ. People like people who appear to be like them. Similarly, if someone is angry or upset, we can lead them to a different place by not replicating their physical behaviour, but rather modelling a different way of being. The overall point is that we give and receive signals all the time. None of this is neutral. We can't ignore this and say it doesn't matter. Our words, our delivery and our behaviour affect how we and our communications are perceived, and indeed how others react to them. I hope this has been useful. This stuff is not an intellectual pursuit, but something each of us must practice. Over to you. Thank you for listening and watching.